This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
So, what's been up this week?
Well, it's not just up this week. I've been working on it for a while now, but I'm almost there. I've got another, 7,000 thereabouts points to gain on the reward track to getting my Gift of Battle. Unfortunately, it's a PvP-only event, so you have to do world versus world versus world to gain points in it. And so far, I have discovered one form of PvP that I enjoy, and that is sitting on a siege engine and raining death from above.
Now,
that is fun. That is fucking A fun.
That's cool, but for those who haven't been listening lately, what the hell are you talking about?
Guild Wars 2. I am trying to build a legendary, and the last thing I need for that legendary is the Gift of Battle. The Gift of Battle can only be gained by doing World versus World reward track. It's the final prize on that reward track. So I've been basically porting to the world versus world zones and parking my ass on a mortar or a trebuchet or an arrow cart or one other siege engine that's not in use. And when the army of invaders comes to take this tower or keep or whatever it happens to be, I obliterate them by the dozens.
Nice.
It's actually an extreme amount of fun. I really enjoy it. So far, the best fun has been there's been three focused, I guess would be the best way to put it, three focused invaders who kept trying to take this one tower.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was on any of the siege engines. So, you know, there's their three guys. We've got two or three guys of our own that go up and meet them, and they're sparring back and forth, and they'll chase the invaders off, or they'll drive our people back into the keep, blah, 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 blah. So I hopped on a mortar and I just started dropping, explosive bombs on them. And that's kind of redundant, explosive bombs. Anyhow, but I just raining death down on them. And between that and our combat people going out there and fight, hitting them head on, we were stomping the holy hell out of them for a good 2 hour period. But they just kept coming back. And every time they came back, I would still be sitting on that mortar. I'd see them peek up around the corner, and I'd drop bombs on them. Boom! They decide, that sucks, and they'd leave. A few minutes later, they check again. And the best one is this large group. I mean, just the sea of red markers pointing out the bad players or the enemy players.
Right.
They came running up, and at this time, we had a lot of people in this keep. And so we started, hitting them, and they decided that this isn't healthy, and they ran around this hillside to hide. Well, their little red indicators are still there. Well, the mortar can launch over that wall, and so they're all parked there, and I'm just sitting there spending my time getting getting it right on the right spot, and I just dropped one right in the middle of them, and it's just like the sea of damage numbers come up, and they decided, we're not safe, and they ran for the hills.
Nice. Well, that's cool. You're really getting somewhere with that. And is this,
it's slow going.
Do you think this is something where you will, once you've got your Gift of Battle, you'll go back and do this just for
fun? Hell no. Oh, hell no. Because it is dull. We have some of the dumbest damn commanders ever. Well, in the world versus world zone, there's this one big keep. everybody tries to gain that keep because you get this huge list of buffs for your, everybody on your realm gets this buff. And the reigning commander decides, it's not worth the manpower trying to keep this keep, so fuck it. We're just going to let it fall. They can, he said, we can make more points by holding the, all the other zones. We can take more zones with the people. So he gave up the keep, and we proceeded to lose everything else as well. Because people were so disheartened by giving up something that they had fought so hard to get, people just started logging out. And so this huge army of people that he thought was going to, you know, stick with him bailed on him.
Nice.
Yeah. Good leading there, dickhead.
Well, you know, not everybody's cut out for that.
Well, no, and that's just it. That verifies that. Painfully verifies that.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to get my legendary. It's the legendary is called the Predator. Cool. It's funky looking rifle, and I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of animation it has in use, because you can preview what it's going to look like on your character, but you can't really see the effects that you gain with it, because some of them have animations. Almost all of them give you some kind of special footprint, so when you're running around the world, the Juggernaut, the legendary hammer, your armor looks like it's made out of quicksilver.
Huh.
And when you're running, it's like every time you take a step, you're leaving a puddle of mercury as you run along. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
And I've heard that the Predator, you leave an animal track as you're running it. It's kind of a glowing animal track wherever you go.
Nifty.
So, looking forward to it. I am really freaking close, and I should be if I spend time this weekend, spend some good quality time PvPing. I will get that extra 7,000 points and be done.
Well, I can't say I've been doing anything that exciting, but I have been having fun with my new laptop.
Yes.
Yes. It's a MSI. It's very, very spiffy. It's got the best 1080 P screen on any laptop, 120 megahertz, 3 millisecond response time. It is so crisp, it makes you want to just, you know, punch your mom. It is really, really sweet.
Punch your mom, huh?
Yeah, she's dead. Anyway, I actually installed Guild Wars 2 on it.
Awesome.
Yeah. And DDO, and Lotro, and The Secret World, and Rift, and WoW, and almost all of my Steam games.
Mm-hmm.
It's just chock full of fun. Now, I put the MMOs on the SSD, so they load faster. The Steam games can be on the regular hard drive, though.
Right. The big terabyte drive.
Yeah. It's not as big as the 2 terabyte drive that was in the old new laptop that I had to send back, but that was only a 5400 speed drive.
Mm-hmm.
This one's 72, and it's a hybrid, so it's even faster than a regular 7200 speed hard drive. It is spiffy good, even at just 1 terabyte.
Well, I'm happy for you.
The only reason to have 2 terabytes was for video editing, and I live stream now. I don't do YouTube, so fuck it. This thing is going to be chock full of games. And podcasts.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Yes.
Well,
you have to see this thing. It's awesome. I'll have to bring it over sometime.
Cool.
Anyway, so yeah, that's my super excitement. I have a cold, and that's about it.
Yes.
Look, it's spring. I get sick in the fall and the spring. It happens.
And in the winter, and in the summer, and on the weekends, and on the weekdays.
But yeah, the winter and summer is not my fault. The winter, it's super cold. And in the summer, I go to Renaissance fairs, and I'm around other people, and they've got germs. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm old, and I have no immune system.
Sure.
Okay. Whatever.
Whatever.
point is, this wasn't what we were going to talk about today.
What were we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about some D&D.
Awesome.
Yes. Now, I know it's been out for a few years since, what, 2014?
Something like that, yeah.
Fifth edition.
Yeah.
This was, I mean, we have played basically from basic D&D, first edition AD&D, second edition, we played the hell out of that. Third edition, 3.5. I think the only edition we haven't played is fourth.
Well, that's kind of obvious why.
Yeah, it wasn't a great edition. But fifth edition came out, and we just kind of went, eh, we're playing Pathfinder, so meh. But then you got involved with it, which got me involved with it. Suddenly, I love it.
Well, it's because my lovely wife decided that I needed the books, so she got me the books.
And it was a great decision.
I think so.
Because now I've got the books, and my wife loves it. And, well, we got to find a way to talk your wife into playing again.
She just isn't really in the mood for that right now.
I know, I know. It's not the point.
But it's just the thing I'm really liking about it is the feeling you get playing 5th edition is the same feeling we had playing 2nd edition after we'd played it for like a year or two.
Yeah.
That comfortable, it's like you're with an old friend kind of feeling. It just feels right.
Yeah.
There's no real, we're not having to crack a book every few seconds to figure out what this rule means or what this means or this means. It's streamlined and it just seems to work.
Yeah.
I mean, now, the passive perception thing.
Oh, God.
You don't have to warn your players that something's about to happen. You just do it. You know, they just check their passive perceptions to see if anybody notices.
Yeah.
And that makes it so much easier as a DM.
It's smooth, I'd have to say. And here's the thing. When we're playing that, we've been playing it with a group of very inexperienced role players. A couple who had never role played before.
And it shows.
Well, no, I wouldn't say so. I would say they actually do a really good job.
No, I'm not saying they're not good role playing. It's just they don't understand the characters yet, and that's the fun part.
It takes a little time, but still the thing is that I haven't read the books all the way through. But, you know, skim through it, great. Seems pretty straightforward. We've made some mistakes, but overall, how many times have we had to crack open the books? It's pretty much been, hey, what does this spell do?
Yep, pretty much trying to make sure we get what the spell effect right.
Because both of the brand new players are spellcasters. One's a cleric, one's a druid, and they don't know what any of these spells are. So we've had to look them up. So we were sure what they did. Wow. I would say the very first time we played, we cracked the books open a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so easy to just kind of roll through. There's no big hiccups. I haven't seen a rule come up where it's been a complete dead stop to the game.
Nope, not so far.
We're not having to make up our own homebrew rules because it feels like they're already in the game. It's just, you don't have to deal with that. It just, what's there works.
Well, and like I was saying when we first started the group, we're sticking with the tried and true. This is the way the book is written.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like the spell point system better than the spell slot system. And I'm thinking after a while, we're just going to change over to the spell point system.
Yeah. Everybody's got their own preferences for magic systems. I don't think that there should be memorizing of spells at all or spell points or anything like that. If you're a mage, you know these spells, you should be able to cast them. And I know that makes magic users extremely overpowered. but you can also counter that with making them very, very fragile.
Yeah, but I've just never been a fan of having, you know, a glass cannon that, you know, you run into something really badass, and it's a choice of who gets, or it's a thing of who gets off first, whether the bad guy kills the caster first or the caster severely damages the big bad guy. It overpowers and overshines every other class.
Sure, but that's why there has to be balanced passes. But I'm just saying that it doesn't seem realistic at all. It takes me a little out of the immersion when you go and, okay, I go and I pray for my spells and I'm out of spells. Oh, I guess I'm done.
Well, and that's why I like the spell point system. So if you've got a whole bunch of spells that you can cast, you can do, with the spell point system, you can do a whole ton of low-level, like, heal spells over the course of the adventure.
Sure.
And still have points left. Or you can pull all your points together and do one really big spell. If you know it, then you can do this one really big spell and just blow your wad all at once. So you've got your big cannon effect, but, you know, all that stress that your brain has taken trying to, you know, throw this big magic whammy that now you're incapacitated for the, you know, a while.
Right. And that means, much like in, Shadowrun, for example.
Right. Mental exhaustion.
No, I'm just saying a decker. Nobody likes to play the deckers because they have nothing to do for the majority of the game. And when they're doing their part, everybody else has nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's a bad mechanic. But that's beside the point. We're getting off topic because, you know, D&D 5th edition really works. We're not here to, you know, trash it. I'm not saying this should be a love letter to the game because it's not perfect, but wow, I would have to say it's up there with the classics.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me ask you this. Being that we've played all these other systems and we've read 4th edition, we haven't played it. At least I've read it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I looked it over and wasn't impressed.
But would you consider 5th edition the best D&D edition that's come out?
So far, yeah.
I mean, I liked 3.0. I thought it worked well. I know there was some flaws with it. And that's why they put out 3.5. I just thought that is also a massive cash grab, but that's beside the point. It had some innovation. Second edition had some stupid flaws, but it was just fun. With the exception of I didn't like their notebook monster manual.
Yeah.
That was a bad idea. First edition AD&D just worked. But we also didn't know a lot. We didn't really know better. That was the game we played.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what else did we play at that time? Star Frontiers?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was in its own way. It was also a flawed game. Fifth edition, I mean, I know we haven't played it a huge amount.
I'm hoping to rectify that.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing the flaws. Maybe it's just I'm too enamored with it like I was with Pathfinder right at the start, and we're still low level, but I'm just not seeing the flaws. Not really. Everything is either it works or it's workable.
Right.
Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of the magic system, but that's the same magic system that's effectively been from the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is the way D&D does magic. Fine. Cool. It works.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, let's take what works, let's carry that over, and let's add in what effectively feel like homebrew rules. Good homebrew rules like... Well, you mentioned the passive
perception.
Yeah, the passive perception. And the extra stats for, like, insanity.
Mm-hmm. It was insanity, or sanity and honor were the two.
Yeah. These are things that you don't have to use them, but they're there. And they're fully fleshed out and ready to go in case, you're campaign isn't something that you're doing more of a, from what I've seen, basic standard D&D campaign. Am I wrong?
So far, that's what it's starting out as. Yes, I have got ideas of where I want it to go, but right now we're operating out of this one village. That's the base of operations, and when everybody gets bored with this area, or the game draws them in another direction, then that's where we're going to go.
Well, I mean, rules-wise. You're not, like, yes, needing to do something that exceeds the basic rules.
Well, other than looking towards, in the future, going to spell points, right. No.
Now, see, if I could use that, those same exact books, the same rules, without anybody having to buy new books, you just have your three basic books, which, by the way, Amazon just recently dropped the price of the Monster Manual. So if you don't have it, it's just like not even $27 right now.
Cool.
Which is amazing to me. But beside the point, at least that's what I saw it at. I don't think it was on sale either. I think that was just they cut the price. But the point is, you've got these extra rules where I could make a campaign that is horror based, you know, more, you know, mm-hmm. Like similar to Ravenloft, but more with a Cthulhu like feel.
Mm-hmm.
I could do something along the lines of Earth Dawn in D&D just by adding the sanity stat.
Yeah.
One little change that's in the basic rules, and suddenly you have a game that feels almost entirely different.
Well, and they can do the same thing with Honor, too.
Exactly. You could go with a something that's more samurai-like, right?
Mm-hmm.
It totally different feel with the same basic books. Now, this is something that in second edition, you would have to go out and buy at least one book with additional rules and whatnot, all based around that particular book. Like, I don't remember the name of the Japanese-based book from 2nd Edition. Didn't we have that?
I don't think we actually owned it, but I remember reading it.
Yeah, I know we never actually used it in our rules, but they had one that basically added in a bunch of Japanese-flavored, you know, medieval-type, you know, samurai, Bushido-type stuff. Well,
and they did the same thing with the monsters, like the Oni and the... I can't remember the Ogre Magi.
Right. But it was like you'd have to basically everybody, or at least somebody, would have to buy this book, and now you have to have these additional rules, and it just became a slog.
Yep.
But now I've seen a few additional books out there for D&D, and they are literally, for the first time, I actually feel like they are completely and utterly optional. I have no need to go and crack out hundreds of dollars like I did for 3.0 and 3.5. I think we've got like my wife and I have like $1,000 in books for 3.0 and 3.5.
I wouldn't doubt that in the slightest.
It's a freaking whole shelf of my role-playing books. And we're never going to use it again.
Probably not.
Because I have no need. There's a couple books I can look on there that seem unique. Like I've got one that was equipment-based. All kinds of unique and special equipment that you couldn't find in any other book. Great. Well,
and what's nice about that is it's easy to translate the equipment from that book that's not in the game that you're playing. You can switch it over from 2.0 to 5 with very little effort.
Even 3.0, right?
Well, if you want to update 5th edition, without having to buy a book, if you've got these earlier editions, it's easy to make the change from here to here.
Right, because the stats on weapons really didn't change a whole lot, did they?
Well, they added things like, you know, versatility or reach or... But those were kind of there. They just weren't emphasized as a feature.
Right.
You know, like a polearm has that reach capability.
Yeah.
It wasn't really, you know, mentioned as, you know, hey, since you've got this 12-foot long pole axe, you can hit people this distance away from you. Like it was a given, but in 5th edition, it's one of the core abilities of that weapon. It makes it easier for new players to understand that, hey, this weapon of yours, it has what's considered range because of the length of the weapon.
Right. And that's what I was saying is it almost feels like there's what were good homebrew rules just kind of baked into the system.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think maybe a lot of this came from the beta testing and people looking at what 4th edition did wrong.
Which was a lot.
And they just turned around. Why turn a tabletop role-playing game and try and make it WoW?
Because WoW was the big dog making all this money, and everybody wanted a piece of that money.
But that's a video game, and my head's going to hurt. But regardless. Yes,
but everybody, every game manufacturer, whether it's a video game or a tabletop game or a board game, they look at what's successful, whether it's in their genre or not. And they try to mimic that as best they can. With the 4th edition D&D, it was, hey, role-playing games in video games are popular. Look at World of Warcraft. If we fashioned Dungeons & Dragons to play more like a video game, maybe our players would love it. It wasn't actually a maybe, it was our players are going to love it. We need to do this. And so that's where that... where 4th edition spawned, with some dipshit figured tabletop gamers are video gamers and they want their tabletop games to be just like a video game.
Yeah.
And then they were surprised that, well, they're not playing 4th edition. They're playing their video games. Well, why would you play your video game on a tabletop?
Yeah. And if they're playing a video game, if they're trying to play, you know, their tabletop role-playing, they just stuck with the books that worked.
Uh-huh.
And that's why Pathfinder became so huge. Oh, Wizards of the Coast isn't going to support 3.5 anymore? Okay, Paizo will.
Yep.
And so, Wizards of the Coast pulled their head collectively out of their ass, just like that, and made themselves 5th edition. Whoever wrote that? I don't have the books right here to look at it. I want to shake your hand. That is an excellent freaking system. I'd have to say it's basically the first fantasy game that's made me want to go, yeah, Pathfinder, I'll just put those books away. I have no interest anymore.
Well, my biggest issue, and I have said this on many occasions, Pathfinder is a well-done system, except for they took the wonder that was D&D, you know, the vague description of magic items, and they quantified it to numbers. They broke it down into numbers. And so a lot of players, they're like, okay, great, now I understand. Woo, fantastic. But a lot of players like me, that it kind of spoiled the mystery behind it, the magic, the imagination, the fun.
Yeah.
And one of our players, his thing was, is, well, you just work past that. Yeah. What was the comment? A good DM can work around that. Yeah. A good DM can. Maybe I'm not a good DM, but I found it to be kind of like a mental speed bump. Every single time I ran across that, it threw me off.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. Well, the edition doesn't have that.
It's true. A good DM can work around any bad rule in any bad system. Hell, I made chill fun, okay? And I'm not saying I'm a great DM or GM, but I had people asking me afterwards, can we play that again? And chill, not a good system.
Just saying. Even close.
But, while, yes, a good GM or DM can work around a, you know, a, this speed bump or that. A good system wouldn't have those speed bumps in the first place. And it's like I mentioned during our pre-show when we were talking about this. I equate 5th edition D&D along the lines of along some other classic pen and paper role-playing games. Like, oh, Cyberpunk 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I remember old Cyberpunk 2013 and how, you know, it was just really cool and everything, but it had its problems. It was the very first cyberpunk game, you know,
right.
That was the first in that series. 2020 was basically a second edition of it. They fixed a lot of the problems, and while it's not perfect, damn, that's a great game. It's a classic. If I want to play a cyberpunk game, that is the first book I'm reaching for. Unless it's, you know, I want to have some fantasy with it, then I'm breaking out my second edition Shadowrun game. Also, a classic. Not perfect by any means. Like I'd mentioned, the Decker problem is an issue. And yes, a good game master can get past that, and but shouldn't have to. There should be some way to make that work. But right. it's just one of those games that is iconic. Is 5th edition the iconic version of D&D?
It can be. I think it deserves to be, but we've only played, you know, basically one full adventure.
Yeah. It was more than one session.
No, it was two sessions, but it was one complete adventure, you know, from
right.
the beginning to the when we closed up and everybody came home.
Giant Goose.
Yes, Goosezilla.
Yeah, Goosezilla. That was... And the thing is that, now, you were the one running that game.
Yes.
And that was one of those adventures that it's going to be something we remember years from now. That just had so much cool stuff and so many cool little, you know, bits that showed up in it. Did the system work with you in making that, or did you have to work around the system?
No, it was easily worked. And the thing was, is making up the new creatures, because the whole point behind that adventure, I wanted to see what my group would do when thrown up against something out of the ordinary. This isn't just your standard goblin fight or, you know, you're doing a dungeon crawl or whatever. This was just something on the strange side.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see how they handled it. Well, they handled it in a unique fashion. That gives me information on how the future, how the future games, how I can play them, how I can go, where I can go, what's too far, can I go more in this direction?
Right.
It was just good information.
Mm-hmm. And
they didn't balk at weird. So
you also shouldn't leave the tiefling cleric and the halfling barbarian alone with anybody that's injured.
Oh no. They're a lethal combination.
Hey, I relied upon her word.
I'm not complaining in the slightest.
He was done for and I had a sock.
Hey, just because he was put in the game so you could get some advanced knowledge of what you were heading into. I wanted to make sure that the party wasn't caught by surprise by a 30-foot fucking goose that was exceedingly violent.
Yes.
It was psychotic. No, it was the swan on steroids, but much, much larger kind of thing.
Right.
I didn't want you walking into that blind, so I had this dying NPC that if you got him up to a health, up to one hit point, he could survive the trip to town and would hopefully be saved by the actual, you know, full-on priests at the temple. But no. He's too far gone. We need to put him out of his misery.
Yep. So I offered my sock and smothered him.
And you know, okay, fine, fuck it, let's roll with it. They don't need this information. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. And we ended up burning down most of the ranch.
Yes. I just love how they kept
unclean.
I love how you guys kept assuming that the grain was the source of the potion that was, you know, making the animals bigger. And that the giant rats in there were the reason they became giant rats. They were normal rats that ate the grain and became giant rats. No, they were just giant rats that was attracted to a farm.
Yes, well, I was also, we're first level, by the way. It's player knowledge, I mean, character knowledge as opposed to player knowledge. And third, I wasn't a very bright character, so it was my suggestion that it had to be the grain.
And I'm not going to sway it away from that.
Good. Boom. And the tactician in the group was actually, he was right. We should have waited and, you know, gotten the goose closer and just exploded it then. But what's the fun in that? Let's just blow it up beforehand.
Think of this, though. How many players would have died trying to lure the goose all the way over to where the tower, or to where the silo was?
Oh, a lot, considering what it was doing to the goblin horde.
Well, it had just killed off 20 armed soldiers and most of their mounts. So it had taken a lot of damage just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still quite potent.
Yes.
So I don't think a lot of characters would have survived trying to lure it over to the silo.
Not at first level. No.
No, not at first level. And little characters like the halfling would have just gotten gobbled up.
Right. That's my point, though, is that you're able to take this new system with your very unique idea for an adventure, and it just rolled. There was no, hey, we gotta, you know, kind of adjust here or whatever. It just, nobody even thought about it. It was just like, this is just what it is.
Uh-huh.
And now I know the new players, they don't know any better. But you and I and my wife and even...
Jay?
Yeah, the other player. I'm trying to... He doesn't go by Jay on this show.
No. Eh.
Point is... It doesn't matter.
Point was it Adrian?
Yeah. No. No, that was his brother. Boy, we're really good about keeping track of our co-host names, aren't we?
Well, they were only on one show.
Yeah, actually, they were on for three shows or something, but one session.
Yeah.
Alas, they're always welcome back.
Of course.
So, you know, much like their mom. We just keep scaring people off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not the point. Point is, it's a great system. And like I said, I don't think it's perfect. Any means. But it... Oh.
If it was perfect, I wouldn't be thinking of ways of working with the magic system to try and make it more user-friendly.
Right. It makes me feel like a kid again.
Uh-huh.
This is a sort of system where I just like, okay, I'm having a great time, and I don't even want to think about another game.
Uh-huh.
Now, Dresden Files with the Fate system is a little bit like that, but I was put off by their magic system, and that feels like a speed bump, a big speed bump to get past.
Uh-huh.
But overall, the game feels good. Fifth edition... is like putting on a warm sweater on a fall day.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's just comfortable and fun.
Mm-hmm.
You break it open. If you've played any sort of role-playing games in the past, it's just familiar and it works.
Yep. I mean, I enjoy the hell out of it.
There was a couple places on the character sheet where I remember when we were making our characters, my wife was like, what's this for? And we'd go, oh, that's that. Bam. It's the end of it.
Uh-huh.
It just rolls.
And they've taken most of the math out of it. You know, the Thaco and
sure.
all these tables that you had to consult.
Yeah.
Hit tables and damage tables and this table and that table. And just, it's all been just streamlined and smoothed and not in a bad way.
Yeah. I think there's like one table, you know, for each character class.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. You can always just go consult that when you level up. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, sure, obviously I'm not playing a magic user at this point. I probably will at some point. I would have, except for somebody said, let's not make a bard.
Well, bards overpower the game. They're just, I don't know, they can control the issues way too easily. I'm just not a fan of having a bard as part of the party.
It's my singing, isn't it?
No, it's the fact that just by singing, they can shut down an entire event, an entire encounter.
Yeah, but they're still awesome.
Yes.
Of course, a good game master can get around that problem, right?
Well, yes. But then again, you have to do things like make the enemy immune to that effect. Or they're deaf so that the singing effect doesn't have any thing, you know, doesn't have any effect on them. But then again, their performance skill, just the visual component of it.
It has nothing to do with what they hear. Right.
So it's like you have to really manufacture a game just to counteract one player.
And that's not really super fair. Basically, you'd have to target that character.
It's not fun.
Right.
So that's why I just said no bards. Okay, sorry.
Reasonable.
A non-player character bard? Sure. You know, if you want to run some of this and you want to run a bard as an NPC, fantastic.
Nah, I'm happy with my crazy barbarian, thank you.
Well, and that's fine. I'm working on NPCs for the next adventure now. And I think you're going to enjoy these NPCs. Well, you might.
So, we're way past time. So, do you have any final thoughts?
5th edition is worth it. If you're playing 3.5, go to a website and just look at the rules. If it's not for you, by all means, keep doing what you're doing. But I highly recommend it just because of how easy it is to get into it, how easy it is to just play it.
I would actually say, moreover, if you're playing Pathfinder, now's the time to set down those books, pick up the 5th edition. They've made up for 4th. It's time to come home.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Anyway, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Baelus.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.